You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, June 30th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh my God, folks, I literally just ran down the stairs. Those of you watching on the camera there on Ustream can attest to that. So much going on today, the final day of marijuana prohibition in my home state of Oregon. Couldn't be more excited. I just got back from the ACLU of Oregon. They had a press conference detailing what's happening for legalization. Let me get the AC turned off. Hold on a second. Ha! Woo! Busy, busy, busy. So ACLU of Oregon will have some highlights of that coming up here in just a second as soon as I can get that processing going. Also coming up on the show today, we have got, well, marijuana legalization to talk about. I've got so many media appearances and things happening that it's going to take me a while to break it all down for you, but we will get to that, plus the clips of the press conference, and we'll have a guest showing up a little later on in the show today. Joshua Taylor from the Portland Mercury will be our guest. He is the Cannabuzz columnist. He's here to talk about the Friday, July 3rd event that's going on. It's called Weed the People. That's right, Weed the People. And it's a celebration of marijuana legalization. It's been sold out for a week or two now. Tickets were $40, and people who go in will get to sample all sorts of artisan cannabis. Should be a really good time for everyone. Also, later on in the show, we'll call in to Pork Chop, who's down at the Fresh Buds Dispensary. I visited them at noon today. They're getting really, really ready for tonight's Burnside Burn. We're going to be at midnight on the Burnside Bridge, and we're encouraging everyone who wants to give marijuana away to show up and give marijuana away. We'll see what happens. I saw Doug McVeigh from Drug Policy Facts there at the press conference, and he said, I might come down to cover your riot tonight. Yeah, don't say it like that, Doug. I think it's going to be a peaceful time. I was there in Seattle the moment legalization happened. There was a little smoke in, and people enjoyed themselves. And similarly in Colorado, I didn't hear about the sky falling, so I think we'll be okay in Portland. Looking forward to that. I'll stream as much of it as I can on the RB Live channel. I also just live streamed the ACLU press conference. That's saved up on my Ustream channel, Radical Russ on Ustream, and you should be able to watch that at your leisure. Also, a little later on in the show, second half hour of hour two, we'll be calling into Toronto, Canada for the Marijuana Zone. I think they're in Toronto. Maybe they're in Vancouver. I'm not sure. But we're calling into a Canadian show that wants to know what's going on with legalization here in the state of Oregon. So we'll talk all about that as well. Oh my God, folks, I am just running ragged. This is the most exciting day in marijuana in my 10-year career fighting for legalization. I can't believe we are less than 9 hours away. It's really happening here. I'm really going to go to bed tonight. No longer a criminal in my home state. I can't wait to bring this to everyone else in the United States. 4 states down, 46 to go. Let's get legal all across this great nation so us cannabis consumers don't have to only vacation on the West Coast and Colorado. All right, we're gonna take a break and I'm gonna get everything settled here in the studio. 420 Radio News is next. Thanks for being here.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. Oregon is less than 9 hours away from ending adult marijuana prohibition. While it becomes legal to possess and cultivate marijuana for adults over 21 as of midnight tonight, there remains no legal outlet for consumers to purchase marijuana or starter plants or seeds. Portland Normal will be gathering at the west end of the Burnside Bridge to take selfies at the moment prohibition ends beneath the iconic neon Portland, Oregon sign. Adults who possess marijuana are encouraged to bring an ounce of it, or up to 24 ounces of it if they are a medical marijuana card holder, to share with other adults, as well as seeds and starter plants, so consumers aren't forced to break federal law by going to Washington State to make their legal purchases. Legislators are currently working on a bill that would allow existing medical marijuana dispensaries to sell to all adults starting October 1st. Marijuana delivery startup Ease will now let you get a medical marijuana card via smartphone. Rival service Meadow claims to Uber over a doctor, but seems to be the first doobie delivery startup able to hand out a legal cannabis card through EaseMD, its new video phone conference service. California state law has traditionally required those waiting to get a state-issued cannabis card to travel to a designated clinic, pay $100 or more, and then wait a few days for their card. EaseMD replaces that process with technology that finds the next available weed doctor from a third-party service. EaseMD has also lowered the cost to $25 and reduce the time it takes to minutes. EaseMD issues the new card electronically to the patient's smartphone and then moves them to the Ease platform where they can order and get medication delivered right to wherever they are in less than 15 minutes. Rand Paul has been wooing young Republican voters with his clever campaign swag and his vows to make privacy a priority, and today he will court the marijuana crowd. Mr. Paul is scheduled to hold a fundraising reception at the Cannabis Business Summit meeting in Denver. Co-sponsored by the National Cannabis Industry Association, the senator will address issues including medical marijuana policy and banking regulations for marijuana-based businesses in states where it is legal. Senator Paul is already popular in the industry for co-sponsoring a bipartisan bill to make it easier for states to legalize medical marijuana. He has also promoted reducing criminal penalties for marijuana use. This year, the Marijuana Policy Project gave his policies a grade of A-, the highest mark of any of the presidential candidates. Minnesota's medical marijuana law goes into effect tomorrow. Minnesota's medical marijuana advocates snatched an unlikely victory from the legislature last year after years of failed efforts, but there was little celebration. What emerged to assuage skeptical law enforcement lobbyists and a wary governor was one of the strictest programs in the nation. Smoking the plant is forbidden. Pills, oils, and vapors are only available to patients suffering from severe conditions such as cancer, epilepsy, HIV, and AIDS. And the medicine can only be sold in 8 locations, hundreds of miles away from some in Minnesota's rural expanses. 2 companies growing, cultivating, and selling marijuana for the state say Minnesota stands out for its medical approach to a nearly 20-year-old industry.
A West Eugene, Oregon factory that once produced computer hard drives and later bottled water could next become an industrial-scale marijuana growing operation. The Eugene Water and Electric Board on Friday sold the 107,000-square-foot building for $3 million, according to a deed filed with Lane County on Friday. The buyer is Calix Development, a New York City-based marijuana real estate firm. Calix bills itself online as the premier real estate development provider to emerging indoor agricultural operators on the national level. Its website doesn't mention marijuana by name, but an online flyer for this month's Cannabis World Congress and Business Exposition in New York City described Calix as a leading cannabis real estate and property development firm. A group of Pennsylvania lawmakers has introduced a second bill to legalize medical marijuana in the state. The measure is a compromise to Senate Bill 3, a proposal that passed the Senate in May but has not yet reached the House floor. Medical cannabis would be administered through vaporization or in oil or pill form, but smoking and edibles would be banned. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, the activist radio station. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome, everyone. The headline for today, of course, is the end of marijuana prohibition for adults in the state of Oregon. Anthony Johnson from New Approach Oregon was joined by my representative, Earl Blumenauer from the U.S. Congress, as well as the head of ACLU of Oregon and Leah Maurer, the head of Moms for Measure 91, at a press conference that just concluded a half hour ago. Here's a sample.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, and Mr. Rogers, thank you for your hospitality here at the ACLU. This is an important landmark as we enter into the next phase of Oregon's legalization of marijuana. Our state has long been in the forefront of efforts to modernize and reform, starting with being the first state to decriminalize marijuana, one of the first with medical marijuana, and we think passing the best initiative of any place in the country. I wanted to talk just for a moment about the context of this in the national arena, because there's a great deal that is going on nationally, and the Oregon rollout is going to be watched very carefully in terms of its implications. Already in this Congress, we've seen over a dozen pieces of legislation, bipartisan legislation, introduced to further modernize marijuana laws. We have had 6 amendments already this session voted on the floor of the House, and 4 of them have passed. One of the most noteworthy by a significant margin, telling the federal government not to interfere with medical marijuana activities that are legal in the states. For the first time in history, we've had legislation introduced in the United States Senate. And we're looking at a number of other states watching what happens here in Oregon going forward. It's been a fast and furious activity at the federal level. The efforts are going to be concentrated going forward to be able to allow legal marijuana businesses to be able to have a bank account and to pay fair taxes. And both those concepts have broad bipartisan support, and we're confident that things that can happen in this Congress to make a difference. Part of the problem with over 5,000 legal marijuana businesses around the country is that we've got this crazy patchwork at the federal level, leftover vestiges of a failed policy of prohibition that simply don't work and dramatically complicate those efforts. I am extraordinarily pleased with what has happened at the state level, making progress to be able to refine the initiative that was passed with 56% of the vote last fall, coming together on a bipartisan basis. Anthony, just back from the state capitol, may talk a little bit about that. But I am pleased because it's part of this momentum, being able to take what the voters have enacted, be able to refine it, move it forward, so that Oregon can be a textbook example of how to do it right. We're in the midst of a dramatic change all across the country. New states will be voting on it. The federal government over the course of the next 5 years will be modernizing based on what you've seen, and Oregon is going to loom large. I'm pleased we're here to be able to talk about that Oregon experience. And I'd like to turn, if I could, to Anthony Johnson, who is the director of New Approach Oregon and is the chief petitioner of Measure 91, which I think is the best initiative we've seen at any point in the country. Anthony?
Thank you so much, Congressman. As Congressman Blumenauer noted, Oregon has long been a pioneer in sensible marijuana law reform, starting all the way back in 1973, becoming the first state to decriminalize marijuana. And some breaking news today that I haven't seen covered just yet. Senate Bill 460 passed the Oregon Senate by the margin of 23-6. That will, if it passed by the House as expected and signed into law by Governor Kate Brown, as I would expect, that would start the regulated sales of marijuana through existing medical marijuana dispensaries starting on October 1st. And so we'll even have regulated sales earlier than we expected, removing more marijuana sales from the underground or illicit market into licensed and regulated establishments. And starting in January, Oregon will start generating more revenue earlier than we expected under this system. So also today, the legislature further improved and reduced marijuana penalties and passed a bill that will allow for past marijuana offenses to be set aside in line with the new laws and to be expunged from their criminal record. So it's a great day for Oregon cannabis law reform. It's a really great day for cannabis law reform across the country, because Oregon has helped lead the way for decades now, and we will continue to lead the way. And starting, you know, at midnight, we will have thousands of less people arrested and cited for marijuana. We will better prioritize our law enforcement resources, and soon we will start creating new jobs and generating new revenue for our state that will pay for things that our state desperately needs: public safety, drug education, and substance abuse treatment programs and drug prevention programs to better keep minors from getting marijuana. And the new approach measure, Measure 91, legalization measure, is not pro-marijuana, it's pro-regulation, and it supports people who want to succeed in society. There's no reason that we should saddle people with crimes on their record that prevent them from having good educational and employment opportunities, even volunteer opportunities at their kids' school or youth sports program.
Yeah, it is pretty gnarly. The last 9 hours of marijuana prohibition here in Oregon. That was Anthony Johnson, the chief petitioner of New Approach Oregon that got marijuana legalized. And before that, Representative Earl Blumenauer from the United States Congress talking about this momentous midnight occasion. We got more to talk about the Burnside Burn and more from the press conference when we come back. But for now, happy 420, everyone in the Mountain Time Zone.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
I like funky music, baby.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring.
I like it like that.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. And today for the Drug War Data Mines, we get the day off. No data mining today. We're going to continue. Well, actually, there's some data coming up in this press conference. You actually hear a couple of statistics, so I guess that counts. But we're going to continue with our coverage of the Oregon ACLU press conference for marijuana legalization taking place tomorrow. Anthony Johnson is at the podium, and we will hear from Leah Maurer from the Moms for Measure 91. And I think his name is Alex Rogers, but I could be wrong on that, the head of ACLU of Oregon. Here we go.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Supposed to start right where we left off. Let me see if I can find the spot. So sorry, folks. That's what happens when you do it live.
For Measure 91, who know that regulation, education, and taxation is a better system for Oregon's minors than prohibition in the black market. So on that note, I'll introduce Leah Maurer, who led our Mothers for Measure 91 campaign and has really been instrumental in bringing people from all walks of life into the fold to know that regulation is a better policy than prohibition. So next up, Leah Maurer.
Thank you. So yeah, like Anthony said, I'm a mother of three kids. Brought photos with me today. I'm so proud. Three boys. I have Mason, who's 10, Lyndon, who's 8, and Brennan, who's 3. So I absolutely love being their mother. And like Anthony said, marijuana is an issue I feel very strongly about as a mother. And for that reason, I did fully support the Measure 91 campaign and did in fact found the group Moms for Yes on Measure 91, which now has over 1,100 members statewide. I'm also the co-chair for the Portland chapter of Women Grow. Women Grow is a national organization that has over 30 chapters nationwide. And the response that we've received here in Portland for this organization has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had two events so far that have both sold out a week before the event happened, and I feel really good about the work that we're doing with that as well. So like I said, marijuana is an issue I feel very strongly about as a mother. I love my children more than anything, and their safety is absolutely my top priority, as I would believe that it is for any parent. And that's why I'm excited that marijuana is starting to become legal tomorrow in Oregon. Under the current system, marijuana is very easy for children and teens to get a hold of. It's being sold everywhere. Under Measure 91, this system will be regulated. Where the marijuana comes from will be regulated. It will be tested. Who it's going to will be regulated. It will only be sold to adults. Under the current system, we have adults all over the state being arrested for possession of small amounts of marijuana. Under Measure 91, all those law enforcement resources will be freed up to focus on violent crimes and issues that I feel far more strongly about as a parent. Tomorrow, we're moving one step closer to a regulated system here, and people are being educated about it, and the black market will lose power. When retail sales open, the marijuana will be sold, packaged, labeled, and controlled, seed to sale, very strictly. But parents have a responsibility here, too. Parents have a responsibility to educate their children. Just as we educate our children about weapons, cars, and alcohol, we have the responsibility to educate our children about marijuana. Marijuana is only legal for adults 21 and older, and it is unhealthy for children to consume. Today is not only an opportunity for us as parents to talk with our children about it, but also to talk with other parents about it. Measure 91 has given us an avenue as parents to have this conversation with each other and have the law as an ally as we walk this walk on this new market of retail marijuana sales. I'm going to turn it over to David Rogers of the ACLU. Thank you again for having us.
So with the passage of Measure 91 last November, the voters of Oregon sent a very clear message that we need to end the criminalization of marijuana. The aggressive enforcement of marijuana possession laws needlessly ensnares hundreds of thousands of people into the criminal justice system and wastes billions of taxpayer dollars nationwide. We are actually at the tipping point in regard to public recognition that the war on drugs is a failed strategy. Oregon is helping to lead the country in developing smarter and more just policy. And legalization of marijuana in Oregon is in fact about justice. The war on marijuana has been carried out with staggering racial bias across the country, and the same is true here in Oregon. Blacks and whites use marijuana at roughly equal rates, but blacks are more than twice as likely in Oregon to be cited or arrested for marijuana than are whites. And some areas of Oregon are worse than others. So black residents in Multnomah County are over 3 times more likely to be cited and arrested for marijuana. In Lane County, that's 3.5 times more likely. Sadly, we also know that arrests can often carry challenging collateral consequences that create long-term barriers to things like access to housing and employment. With the passage and implementation of Measure 91, Oregon can celebrate a racial justice victory and take satisfaction in removing some of the justice system's troubling collateral consequences that can ruin people's lives. Measure 91 was passed at a time when things were getting worse, not better. Oregon law enforcement agencies increased the rate of citations and arrests for possession of marijuana by 45% between 2001 and 2010. Oregon's increase during that period of time was the 5th largest in the country. And enforcement was not happening at a small scale. Between 2002 and 2012, Oregon law enforcement agencies made over 110,000 arrests or citations for marijuana offenses. In 2010 alone, Oregon spent over $50 million enforcing marijuana laws. To be clear, marijuana criminalization is not an effective public safety strategy. We are pleased to be freeing up taxpayer dollars for the kinds of strategies that are better designed to create and build safe and healthy communities. As Oregon implements Measure 91 and legalizes taxes and regulates marijuana, our state takes a giant step toward smarter justice. Thank you.
The big picture here is that there's dramatic change taking place on the federal level, and you're seeing it on the floor of the House. You have seen other states moving forward, following Oregon's lead. We're turning a page, starting tomorrow, as Anthony indicated, with a dramatic legislation, bipartisan support. We are suffering, and we have for years, with unequal application of justice. And if we look at some parts of the country, it's even worse in terms of the discrimination against young men of color. As Leah points out, it is totally ineffective, the prohibition, in terms of keeping it out of the hands of children, who we all agree shouldn't use it, because nobody's going to check a license when they're down on the street corner or at a park.
Absolutely.
This changes it. And the notion of being able to focus our enforcement attention on people who would put it in the hands of our children, and away from criminalizing behavior that most people think for adults should be legal, I think is a monumental step forward. And I'm proud that our state of Oregon is in the spotlight now, helping lead this change nationally. And you have some experts here that are willing, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to try and field them.
Congressman, a big problem is banking regulations. How close are we to changing that on a federal level so some of these dispensary owners can get a bank account?
Absolutely. The notion that we force thousands of legal marijuana businesses to be conducted on an all-cash basis is politely insane. Forcing people to have shopping bags full of $20 bills when they're just trying to pay their taxes. The risk for armed robbery, theft, assault, and if you really care about money laundering and tax evasion, forcing a business to be conducted on an all-cash basis is an invitation to that. But we're watching here bipartisan support, realizing that that is lunacy. There's building momentum in both the House and the Senate for this, working with the administration to try and see and go as far as we can administratively. But I think this Congress, we can pass that legislation. And while we're at it, the notion that they shouldn't be able to deduct normal business expenses, which any other legal business can do. Likewise, Grover Norquist, the Republican tax advocate, doesn't usually join me for press conferences, but Grover was there when we introduced our legislation, because it's completely unfair and unnecessary. These are two things that people, I think, can get behind regardless of what they feel about marijuana. This is just common sense, and I think we're in really good shape make progress on this.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 35 after the hour, and joining us here in the studio, we have Joshua Taylor. He is the cannabis columnist. Is that, did I get that right, for the Portland Mercury?
That is correct. Cannabis columnist, the week in cannabis news.
That's so awesome. The last ads got me thinking awesome today. It is pretty an awesome day, though. It is the last day of marijuana prohibition here in the state of Oregon. You've been covering this for Cannabuzz. What's it been like, this lead up to legalization?
A lot of excitement followed with a lot of confusion emanating out of Salem. A lot of questions about, well, is this still going to be legal? Is this going to be allowable in my city? And then just general questions about what is acceptable.
Yeah. We've got a big event coming up as well that you're a part of that is just, if anybody knows what I'm feeling, you know, as it gets hectic here, as we go toward a big event with legalization, you must be the other one, because the Free the Weed event is happening on Friday. Tell folks what this is, how it came to be, and just what the response has been.
The event is called Weed the People, and the response has been overwhelming. Honestly, up until a few weeks ago, we had sold maybe 200 tickets. We were all looking at each other, sweating quite a bit. We right now have a waiting list of 750 people. So The support has just been overwhelming and very encouraging. After legalization, you know, passed the Initiative 91, we decided we wanted to do something that would celebrate that. There's enough going on about medical that I want to support, but at the same time, to celebrate recreational use in a responsible adult manner, I saw a shortage of events that met that criteria. So I designed an event called Weed the People, which is 21 and over, no alcohol, no edibles, no dabs. You'll meet growers from around the state who will be gifting out lab-tested 1 gram samples at no charge to individuals. Every individual receives 7 grams of their own choosing. They can then take those grams home to enjoy responsibly, or they can step outside into our vape station, where they can use a variety of vaporizers tended to by bud tenders to enjoy their gifts. We'll have food trucks, that sort of thing.
Man, this is just exactly what we're hoping will happen here in Oregon, to show that, you know, we can be Birvana. We can have the great, you know, wine regions that we have, and we can have quality marijuana with good people enjoying it in a private atmosphere where they can just gather and socialize. I mean, we deserve the same rights as beer drinkers and cigar smokers, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, you cannot go anywhere in this town during the summer on a single weekend and not find something celebrating an alcoholic beverage, and more power to those people. I think it's wonderful, but I still feel like we are marginalized to some extent. It was very difficult to find a space. It was a lot of extra work to make sure that everyone understood that we were encouraging responsible adult usage, that we wanted to work with law enforcement to reframe the discussion between cannabis usage and law enforcement, that we wanted to make sure that we were doing everything right, and that we wanted to support the work that's already out there. Things like Educate Before You Recreate, which OLCC has put out an amazing document, a great website that really answers all the questions that can be answered now. And to everyone's credit, PPB, OLCC, OHA, City of Portland, everyone has been very easy to work with. Everyone has been very accepting. No one has been patronizing or condescending to us. We all recognize that we're breaking new ground with events like this, but that honestly, moving forward, there's going to be many more events like this in the coming years.
Yeah, we've seen that in Colorado when they tried to put events like this together. They, for example, came up with the symphony idea. People could go to the symphony and enjoy cannabis and watch the symphony, and they ran into some roadblocks with that. And we've also heard rumblings about OLCC not wanting to co-mingle alcohol and marijuana. What have you heard with regard to that? And will we ever get to a point where I can enjoy a fine Oregon beer and weed at the same place?
I feel like until we get the majority of Measure 91 sorted out, which I think we all know is pretty far from happening, that we're a ways away from OLCC allowing those commingling. I'm certainly in support of it. That said, I think that it's fine if we are at least allowed to have events where cannabis is the only intoxicant available to attendees 21 and over, and the same precautions are put in place that we would see for any type of alcoholic beverage festival, including assistance for transportation home, security, making sure that no one overindulges. But I mean, honestly, I think we both know that if there's going to be more of a problem with aggression, it's probably going to be at a whiskey fest than it's going to be at a canna fest.
Yeah, no kidding. We're here with Joshua Taylor from the Canna Buzz column in the Portland Mercury, one of our local, it's bi-weekly, the Mercury?
It's an alt-weekly.
Alt-weekly, okay. Alt-weekly Portland Mercury here, portlandmercury.com, I suppose?
Yes, sir. And you can find all the details for the event, again, although tickets are sold out, at weedthepeoplepdx.com.
So is this a one-off thing, or do you plan on doing many more of these?
My company, Oregon's Cannabis Concierge, we design the event. We'll be doing events like this, probably not this large and probably not until I get some sleep. But I think that this is kind of a one-off insofar as this is a celebration of the lifting of prohibition and the fact that legalization has come to Oregon. So as a one-off, we want to educate, but this is really just a get-together of people recognizing their rights and behaving and indulging responsibly.
Now, obviously, I'm thrilled about what's happening and the people listening to the show and who voted for Measure 91 are thrilled, but there are people who voted against it, and they're a little worried. As you take questions and you read through the mail coming in for the Cannabis column, questions and answers, what are the fears of the squares? Let's call them the squares at this point.
We call them prohibitionists in my circles. And I would say that I am honest, and I'm honest when I say this, I am shocked that we have not had a backlash. I thought that someone from the Lars Larson camp or someone would jump on this and give us a reason, you know, to worry about the children or people driving while intoxicated. But we've done our due diligence in underlining safe usage and responsible adult usage and directing people to, you know, every resource to allow them to forego any sort of bad decision making that might occur. The biggest complaint I've heard is, why can't I camp on the sidewalk before the event starts on Thursday night? And why won't you release more tickets? No one has really come at us with any sort of serious concerns about the event. When they have, we've been able to placate them, but they've really been early on in the planning process when there was a question as to whether or not we were going to have a beer garden or live music, or it was going to be something that, you know, went till midnight. But we feel 2 to 9, no alcohol, 21 and over. That alleviated most people's concerns.
Hmm. That's great news. All right. So in writing your Cannabis column and covering the lead up to legalization, were there any parts, any twists that surprised you and how things turned out?
I'm surprised to the degree that the medical marijuana program has been affected. I've been surprised as many Republicans have come on board for what I would consider to be sensible legalization. And as always, I've been very encouraged by the number of bills that Blumenhauer has put forward and has had success in, and the fact that he's speaking to issues regarding legalization, like the banking laws, that we need to examine as part of the business. It's something that's much more dangerous. I honestly feel that people having large sacks full of cash in their home and their business is a lot more dangerous than any sort of product that they're selling.
Yeah, the large sacks of cash are more dangerous than the large sacks of weed.
Absolutely. Either one could fall on you and you could hurt your head, but you know, that's about the worst of it.
So Joshua, being a Cannabis columnist, getting this beat, how did you get this beat? Is this something you asked for, was brought, you know, handed down to you? How did this come about?
This was a very odd circumstance. I had a friend of mine, Ned Lanneman, who is the music editor of the Portland Mercury. We've been friends for years. I've worked in the music industry for about 20 years. He always knew that I brought vaporizers to various parties and gatherings and backstage. He told me that last year, the Portland Mercury was doing their first annual pot issue, and he had been tasked with writing a review about vaporizers. Would it be possible for me to bring some vaporizers over, show them how they worked? I did. I wrote a two-page, very stoned history of the vaporizer, presented that with him, left, thought nothing of it, read the article next week. It was great. About a week later, he called me and said that his editor had read through the notes that I'd written, thought it would be great if I was interested in writing a weekly column on cannabis, since it seemed to be something I was way too fascinated with, and that they wanted to expand their cannabis coverage since they thought that Measure 91 was going to pass at that time. So I picked it up next week and started doing it. It'll be 1 year next week that I've been writing for them weekly.
Fantastic. Now, what's your personal relationship with cannabis? How'd you get started? Did you ever get in trouble for it?
I'm third generation cannabis family industry involved. I've been consuming since I was 18, we'll say, because that's the responsible thing to say. And I have, wink, wink. I was involved in what's called the off-gray market for a short period in my 20s. Since that time, I've been very interested and involved in the medical component and have served as a caregiver through OMMP. So I work with a number of clients that are terminally ill, chronically ill, with pretty serious concerns like MS, Parkinson's, that sort of thing. So I've seen the healing properties of it. And then working in the music industry as a tour manager, a day-to-day manager, a handler, I've seen an amazing change in people that are looking for harm reduction in their choices. I have a number of musicians that are alcoholics or they have opiate dependency or cocaine. If you present them with cannabis as a choice in place of those things, especially to help wean them off, it's a much easier process than asking someone to completely give up everything and be straight edge.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because even to this day, some of the presidential candidates out there, Mike Huckabee, a few others, keep saying marijuana is a gateway drug. It's a gateway to harder drugs. And every relationship I've ever known about this, marijuana was the escape route from harder drugs.
I mean, it's. I think it's based in, to some extent on the Netherlands approach of harm reduction, that you're never going to get every single person to lead a perfect, bad choice-free life, and that everyone should just be high on life and yoga. Some people are going to seek out intoxicants, and we are relatively fine as a whole with the alcohol industry or the tobacco industry or the pharmaceutical pill industry being something that people can choose to deal with their issues. When it comes to cannabis, that doesn't really seem like the case. And like you said, it really helps alleviate the problems that emerge from those three categories being overabused.
You know, you mentioned the other industries. That's one of the ways our opponents keep trying to blow this up on us, saying the marijuana industry is going to become the big tobacco 2.0. Why add a third choice? Why are they wrong about that?
Well, I think we should be looking at anything. If it's going to become something big, maybe it will overshadow something that we don't want. You know, except for a few tobacco growers and some Republican lobbyists, I don't know anyone who's absolutely dying to see tobacco expand its reach. I think most people would be happy if it started dying off because people weren't interested. Maybe if you provided cannabis as a choice instead of that, you would reduce it. If I had choice between cannabis and tobacco every time, I would take that. I always have access to cannabis. A lot of people don't. I think we should present it to people as a choice. If they make that choice, there's a good chance they're going to cut back on other things. And you know, anyone who is in a position of power that feels their power, their money base is threatened, is going to paint whatever is threatening them as a horrible threat to the children and God and country. You have to think that anyone in the pharmaceutical industry, the tobacco industry, fears being replaced by a natural plant that I can grow in my backyard with no government oversight, no taxes, and for some people, not a great deal of experience.
Joshua Taylor from the Portland Mercury, the Cannabis Column. Check him out at portlandmercury.com. And looking forward to your Friday night event. I think it's going to be huge.
Thanks very much, Russ. Appreciate it.
All right, stick around. When we get back from the break, we'll do the last radical rant of Prohibition. I can't believe it's finally here. Plus, hour two, we'll be speaking with Pork Chop, what's going on with the Pork Chop's projects making their way to the Burnside Burn, and we'll be dialing into Canada, eh? We're going to speak to a Canadian show, the Marijuana Zone, on Pot TV. Tell those Canadians what we're doing down here. Stick around, we're back right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
America's RR7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville. Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
We are approaching 8 hours left in marijuana prohibition in the state of Oregon. Check out the RB Live channel later tonight. You can find the channel by going to 420radio.org. Scroll down a bit, you'll see the big RB logo. Follow at RB Show 420 to get the alerts for that channel. At RB Show 420. And you'll know when I'm live somewhere in the cannabis community. We're back with the rant right after this.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Today is the final day of marijuana prohibition in the state of Oregon, and it comes on the heels of so much freedom from oppression that the United States has realized this week. We had the momentous Supreme Court decision that gay and lesbian people are actually human beings and are as entitled to the right to be married and happy or miserable, depending on the marriage, as anybody, that we all have these equal rights. We also had the situation with the Confederate flag where suddenly, in the wake of a horrific, horrific terrorist act against black folks in a church in South Carolina, that the United States woke up and realized that hanging the flag of a traitorous rebellion that sought to maintain the ownership of human beings was probably a symbol of oppression we didn't need to celebrate much anymore. Another decision from the Supreme Court came down 6-3. This one kind of got lost in the shuffle, but it affirmed that in fair housing laws, we don't have to prove that discrimination was intended, that discrimination can be proven just by the effect that we find. If you find out that a housing complex is 98% white and it shouldn't be that way, you don't have to prove that they were trying to make it 98% white. So all throughout this country, we have had these recent events that have caused us all to celebrate what it means to be American, what it means to live up to those words of our Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these, not just these, but among these, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's where Oregon marijuana legalization comes in. And for that matter, legalization that's already taken place in Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. The pursuit of happiness. And what does that phrase really mean to you as an American? I know what it means to me as an American is that I have the right to try to live my life the way that makes me feel happy. And that I don't need an excuse for why I try to do that. I don't need to explain why I try to do that. I don't need to justify how safe or harmful that is. So long as I'm not causing direct harm to others, that my right to swing my fist ends where someone else's noses begin, right? We understand that. And so what we celebrate tonight at midnight is another chapter in striving for that more perfect union. We're not there yet. We're a long way from that perfect union we seek. But tonight we get one step closer by no longer treating a certain class of citizens
as criminals merely for their particular choice of how they pursue happiness. We've recognized the right of people to pursue happiness through drink. We've recognized that in our Constitution. We've granted constitutionally the right to import, transport, and sell intoxicating liquors. It's in the 21st Amendment. We've recognized people's right to pursue happiness if they want to eat a KFC double-decker, whatever the hell monstrosity that thing is. We've given people and recognized wide latitude to use all sorts of substances to pursue happiness, some requiring doctor's care. But we find if people live a better life on Xanax or Paxil or any number of scheduled substances, if that helps them pursue their happiness, we've rediscovered, that's one of our inalienable rights. And that's what we've discovered in ending adult marijuana prohibition. That's why this moment, this evening tonight, is so incredibly important to me. From the moment I smoked my first joint in 1990, so what is that, 25 years now? 25 years. A quarter of a century, I've been a criminal almost every place I've ever been at all times. In my home state of Idaho, just across the border, in my home state of Idaho, it's a crime to merely be under the influence of marijuana. It's a crime to merely be high. Absent any possession or paraphernalia, just being high is a misdemeanor crime in my home state. Tonight I go to bed and wake up no longer a criminal for the first time in 25 years when I have my morning joint. I still risk criminal penalty if I want to go back home, if I want to go back to Idaho and visit my parents or my brother or my nephew or nieces. So we're not quite there yet, but at least tomorrow night, at least in my home state, I and at least 300,000 other Oregon adults are removed from the list of criminal ne'er-do-wells who at minimum must be fined and at maximum must be imprisoned for long periods of time merely because they enjoy cannabis. Now, I'd like to say that at this point, the civil war over prohibition in Oregon has ended, but we still have yet to get through our reconstruction phase, and that's where we're at now, and we still face Jim Crow-like laws that discriminate against us. We still can be arrested, or we can still be harassed and discriminated against simply because we're cannabis consumers. Now, when I think of the ways that we still have yet to fight this fight, I remember that we may be legal, but we're far from equal. Beer drinkers aren't fired from their jobs because a piss test proved they drank on the weekend, but we are. Cigarette smokers aren't losing their parental rights or facing child endangerment charges for using their drug around their kids, but we are. OxyContin users aren't automatically banned from purchasing firearms and ammunition, but we are. Folks who like the occasional glass of wine with dinner aren't automatically kicked off of organ transplant recipient waiting lists, but we are. Cigar smokers aren't forced to smoke their preferred substance only outside of public view, but we are. And none of those drug users are afraid to travel anywhere but Washington, Alaska, and Colorado. But we are. So I'm excited for legalization night, but I am not finished with legalization. Not until we have the same rights as beer drinkers and cigar smokers in all 50 states. We'll be here until they're all legalized, 4 down, 46 to go. We're coming to your state next. Unless you're in Utah. Because, you know, fuck Utah. No, we'll get Utah legal as well. I just might have to send someone else to do it. That's all the time we got for hour one. But stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We're going to get an update from Pork Chop on the phone. We've also got our call in to Canada. We're going to be speaking to the Marijuana Zone live at 7:30 Eastern Time, eh? For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you